The greater the person, so the bigger his ani includes. In other words, the only way for a person to love other people is not just I love other people that are outside of me. The way to love other people is to feel that they're part of you, to feel connected with them. So I Rav Shimon Shkaf says, and he says a pshat in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says, if I'm not for myself, as if I don't work to take care of myself, my ruchness, let's say, I think that's what he says, maybe I'm saying it wrong. Ashein anili, mili. Who's going to be for me? And who's going to take care of me if I don't take care of myself? If I'm just for myself, ma'ani, what am I? He says, that's the var. Kshanila asks me what I am for myself. Ma'ani, what is the ani? My ani is so small. My ani, my I, is a petty little person that he's just his whole world of ani just includes his petty little self. A person's ani, this person's I, is not supposed to just include himself. His ani, his I, has to be include everyone around him. Has to include everyone, that he's such a big person that the I, his I includes everyone, not there's me and there's everyone else. The ani, includes everybody. Someone just told me afterwards who was telling me this? In English, the beginning, who was telling me this? Someone tell me. In English, the beginning of the sentence starts I. You know, if you want to write, I went to the store, there's a, right? Anytime you write the word I in a sentence in English, it's a capital I, right? It's very interesting to think about it, because if you write he in the middle of a sentence, you don't capitalize the H. But when you write I in the middle of a sentence, it's very interesting, you capitalize, we're so used to it, you don't even hear the kasha. In the middle of the sentence, you write, you know, a big I. It says, but in Lashon HaKodesh, if you say Hebrew, you say, achalti, the I of the root word of achal, the I is in the end of the word. The yud, the tough, the yud, and also the yud is little. The I is small. Yeah. So who told me this? No one here told me this? Wasn't someone that was here yesterday who was not here today. Alright. I guess we okay, let's continue over here. So yesterday we talked about Rotes. We're up to Binafola Yivcha, if you're not so good at hearing that, Binafola Yivcha, when your enemy falls, Al Tizah don't be happy. Va'id, we're up to Va'id. It's right after the Pasuk he brings, I don't know. Right after the Pasuk he brings, Va'id yesh simcha ra mizais. There's even a worse simcha than, he says, that a person should not be happy when his friend falls. As it says, Binafola Yivcha, Tizmach, which you spent some time on, that the reason why a person's happy when his friend falls is because it makes him feel better about his own situation. Not even Chas HaShalom, he's a sadist. Just he feels better about his own situation. V'ayidir Simcha Rami says, there's a worse Simcha than that. K'maya Sameach, someone that's happy, K'shechaveiro Nichshav Avayidir Avayidat Avar Yisparach. He's happy when he sees someone fall in the service of Hashem. I Sameach B'miyeh Yudiyasai. Or he's happy when he sees someone else doesn't have so much knowledge. Someone could be the worse than just being happy when someone falls financially, usually, or however way. If a person's happy when someone else falls in the service of Hashem, or he doesn't know too much Torah, he's not such a big Talmud Chacham. Mashal, he brings a mashal. Sarach shetav, and you have to understand. An eved amisharis l'melach be'emuna, a servant that really serves the king with emuna, faithfully. Sheyeshul itzar, he should have tzar, he should have pain. Beraisai anashim, when he sees men amardim that rebel, ba'adayna against his master, ba'macharfim oso, and those that disgrace his master. This is a big thing that a person many times, again no one says it, a person sometimes has a feeling that that when someone else, you know, falls in a certain avodas Hashem, or someone else, you know, you feel you're smart, I have to share today. Oh, I see. He didn't. He looks confused. Whatever it is. So I feel better. I feel happier. And that's a terrible thing. He says, if a person cared about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if a person's a real Eved Hashem, so how could he want someone else to slack off in the service of Hashem? How could he, other person, you know, want someone else to slack off? I've told you this mashal 100 times, but this is my outstanding mashal two guys are mismanaged, two guys are mismanaged, you know, Friday afternoon, and they're both forcing themselves we're talking from one perspective because we don't know what the other guy's thinking. He's forcing himself to learn, and you know, and the other guy, he's in the front of his match. There's another guy in the back of his match who's singing and banging, and oh, the Rashbul, Geschmack. And meanwhile, the other guy is sitting in the front of his bed, struggling to learn. He's tired. He really wants to go play ball. He's struggling. And the guy in the back is pushing, killing him. The guy in the back is mamash beating him up. Because he's Sabrachan. He's mamash beating him up. That guy in the back is singing his songs. By the way, you should know, most times, I don't know if you have this, most times when there's someone near you that's making a lot of noise, usually, it's not so much the noise that's bothering you. Usually, it's some more emotional type of disturbance. You know, you're learning, you're trying to learn, the guy's singing, oh, the rash was that, oh, da da. And you're getting annoyed, you know, he's having such geschmack, and then I'm struggling over here. Usually I think Rakesh once said this, you know, a person's going to sleep, and you hear a noise, right? So it's not the noise that really keeps you up. It's the fact that the fact that it bothers you that really keeps you up. It's like if it's a noise, in other words, it gets on your nerve, you're constantly in the noise, like there's a the room's very quiet and there's a loud clock tick. If you get annoyed from the noise from the beginning, and then you focus so much on the noise that it stirs you up and you can't go to sleep. It's a lot more emotional than actual noise should keep you up. So that's the way it is. So the person singing may smash, and the guy's singing in the back. So all of a sudden, the guy comes in the back. You know, I'm sorry to do this for the 100th time. The guy comes in the back of the room, and he overhears someone come in and say to him, you know, you have 9 guys. You know, we need a 10th man. Can you come out? Can you come out and play some ball? You know, it's one of those, you know, not so serious guys. Oh, you learn so much. You get some fresh air. Come, let's go. And the other guy sitting in the front is like listening in. Oh, maybe a leaf. Maybe a leaf. Maybe I could be the standing champion. I could be the hero. I'll be left in my smash. I'll be the survivor alone here. And that guy left. Oh, and then he's not singing. He's not bothering me. I'll feel so good about myself. Givaldi. There's a problem there. I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm not saying it's something everybody will have. Everybody's going to have this to a large extent if they don't work on themselves. I'm not saying near you necessarily, especially you guys that are at, there's more competitiveness, you know, in Bachram learning being smashed together and stuff. I'm not saying that you should get all worried about this and start getting worried about it. Oh, I'm so mean. I don't care about Hashem. Don't think that. But the point is that it's really wrong. And eventually, when we're, you know, when we're 40 years old and have a long beard and no shas, And then you shouldn't be hoping that the other guy leaves Beis Medrash. Or then it's going to be, you're not hoping that the other, your other friend that you know knows less than you, and that when you speak to him in learning, you know, you can quote, oh yeah, but Tosa says that, and he's like, well, what does Tosa say, you know, as opposed to him saying to you, you know, as opposed to him saying to you, but it doesn't go with Tosa and Gilead and like, he expects you to know it, and you feel real stupid, like, what does Tosa say over there? Like, you know, you don't want to be the, you know, that's what life's going to be about, whether you feel that you're the most knowledgeable, you know. That's not the way it has to be. For now, it's all right. We're young, but we have to work on ourselves. I think that's what hit me. I always, you know, and this hit me very strongly once. I was thinking, like, how do you know? How does a person know if he's really anav, if he's really modest, he's really balgaiva? What's the definition? What's the definition of an anav? And this is not so much a definition, but if I would think in my mind, how would I know if a person's a real anav? I would think that there'd be this person that would totally be fine, who learned and this, and he would be totally fine learning in a place where every person, you know, knows more than him. He'll be okay with that. He wants other people to steig and grow, and he's bechlal not worried about being the best. Moshe Rabbeinu, what's Moshe Rabbeinu? Ish anav, right? Ish anav ma'ir. Anav dikol adam. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's called? He's given the title of Anav. Moshe Rabbeinu is also given the title of Eved. Eved Neman, Karasu Lo. He's an Eved. What's an Eved? Like the Orach HaTzadikim says here, an Eved's a person that's totally just interested in serving the king. Most servants, I don't know, you know, fulfill their roles. Eved, or true Eved, means he wants to serve the king. Moshe Rabbeinu's interest, his only interest, is to serve Hashem and to serve Hashem properly. That's a real anav. This is very far from us. A real anav, he's just interested in serving Hashem. In the mail by Moshe Rabbeinu, you think that he would be more than happy, you know, that other people should grow and steig and steig and steig, and even past him. Imagine, you know, imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu, imagine Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he had tremendous amount of Torah, right? Okay, forget that. He taught us all a Klal Yisrael. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu knew, you know, did Moshe Rabbeinu withhold anything, Chas V'Shalom? Maybe, you know, imagine if a person knows, imagine a person's Talmid Chacham, and he knows that if he lets out, you know, his secret to his ability that he became a Talmid Chacham, then all the Bachrim that he's teaching in a year will know more than him. You know, imagine a person gives away his secrets, and other people are gonna know more than him. See, they're gonna leave him in the dust. Who cares? I'm concerned about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want everyone to go. I want to be able to teach everyone Torah and give everyone, and they should go past me. And they should become greater than me. I want Hashem to be served properly. That's true. That's the epitome of an anav. The gaiva represents. That's the epitome of an anav. I don't know that many people that are in Madrega. The epitome of a Baal Gaiva is I'm worried about me. I'm worried where I stand, how great I am, am I better than my friends, am I worse than my friends? The Anav's not thinking about who's better, he's just thinking about Hashem. He's not thinking about that. Until we become Anav, we have to keep our self-confidence, we have to feel that good about ourselves, and so forth. But the real Anav, he doesn't even think about so much. He doesn't look himself in the mirror and say, oh, am I good? Am I very good? He doesn't have time to think about that. He's just totally thinking about the job he got to do. He's got to serve Hashem. He's happy. He's confident. He's not thinking about like who's better. There's no issue. He's just thinking about Hashem. That's a true Anav. No, it is important to mention that, you know, that you know, we we should try, you know, to realize when we should realize that it's not a contest. It's not a contest. You know, much of our ruchnius is not so perfectly l'shem shemayim. It's lach lo l'shma, and mirtz Hashem mitosh lo shlo bal l'shma. A lot of our learning, many people, their learning is motivated by being chashiv, by being a chashiv guy in the shiur, maybe a chashiv guy in yeshiva. Much of their motivation is based on that, more than they would ever realize. You know, I know myself that learning after Marv, you know, learning not that late. I'm very tired. And yet, for a while, so I started going to sleep earlier, I wake up a little earlier, but for a long time I was trying to learn after Marv. It's not that late, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm falling asleep, you know? So for a little while I would come to yeshiva and learn in yeshiva. Sure enough, in yeshiva I knew I wouldn't have a problem. You know, you sit and learn. Maybe it's the noise, maybe it's the action, or maybe just when other people are around you, there's an extra motivation that you're not going to sit there sleeping. That's all. Every person has other strong motivations, but we're supposed to have other motivations. A bacher that wants to be the best bacher in yeshiva should continue to want to be the best bacher in yeshiva. We tell you shalom l'shma, bal l'shma. You want to be get kavod. You want people to stand up for you. You want kavod. Gevaldik. There's a bacher in yeshiva that told me that he really has a strong drive. You know, he really wants to become a rabbi. You know, he wants to be a rabbi. He wants to be, you know, he wants to be someone that, you know, he's from a certain community where he wants to be, that people will respect him and ask him shas, but he knows that he's not allowed to think about that. He's not allowed to think about that motivation because it's not right. His Rebbeim always told him that's not what he's supposed to learn. So I don't know what his Rebbeim told him or not, but I vehemently disagreed. I told him you should think about how everyone's going to stand up for you and how great it's going to be. Avadim, mitoch shelo l'shma b'al shma. A person's supposed to use shelo l'shma. But we have to always remember that one day we have to try to come to Lishma. But now, before we really learning start, we should always use Lishma, as much Lishma as possible. It's Kavalik. Fine. But I want to say something else. There's many Bachim and Yeshivas don't have that motivation. And that's why they don't shy. Some of the smart Bachrim shy a lot, and some of the Bachrim that are not as naturally smart in generalization fail. That's what I would say. I would say that much of success, the smarter Bachrim have a higher percentage of succeeding than the less smart Bachrim. That's what I would say. What's the pshat? I think the pshat is, a lot of it is because the smarter Bachrim know that if they just work a little bit, they're going to be chashiv, they're going to be good in the shir, they're going to get respect, and therefore they have that great shalom l'shma. But the bacha that's not so smart, he doesn't have that same motivation, because he thinks to himself, so I'll kill myself for a few months, but no one's going to, I'm still not going to be the best guy in the shir. He doesn't have the shalom l'shma. He doesn't have that motivation. He doesn't have that big shalom l'shma, because he knows that even if he works really hard on shir, he's still not going to be the best guy in some of that. That's terrible. That's such a shud. Such a shud. A bacher, I noticed, you know, was bothering him that, you know, he wasn't chapping the shir that he went to. I told him that's you're so lucky you don't chap the shir. If you chap the shir, so what happens is you chap the shir. You think you chap the shir, even if you didn't, but you chap the shir. I don't have to chazer. If I do have to chazer, I chazer like this. Oh, the Rebbe said A, B, C, D, E. Yeah, I understand A, I understand B, I understand A. Oh, 15 minutes, we got shir, give up. So he doesn't even, the truth is, if he would think about A, and then think about B, and then think about D, he'd realize that the Rebbe could have said this chat here, or the Rebbe made him a mistake, or this and that. He would have realized that there was much more, but he thinks he knows it already, and he can chazer really quickly, so he knows he's fine. The Baal that doesn't have shir has two big advantages. He knows that he has to go over it, and he will go over it much better. And also, he's going to shtag so much, he's got to put in extra work. The guy that knows shir might have to put in less work. The guy that doesn't have shir has to put in all that extra work. Why do do people define success as, I'm such a successful bachar, I have shir. That's not success. Success in ruchnius, we're talking about, we're not talking about gashmius, because we're not making $1 million for having shir. Success is how much work you put in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, success is how much work you put in. A bachar who's not the smartest guy has to realize, and it's very hard because other people might not, hopefully a Rebbe will chap that you're trying hard, but maybe all your friends don't give you the kavod you deserve. That's the way it works, unfortunately. Maybe you won't, you know, if you're a real masmid, even if they'll chap that, but you won't get the kavod you deserve because you started off with a little less intelligence, you started off a little behind. So you won't get the instant kavod. Oh, you're such a brilliant, you're such a smart, you ask a good question this year. You won't get all that kavod. But give yourself the kavod. I'm steiging. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing so well. That's real success. That's a real measure of success. The measure of success is how much you're growing, how much you're working, how much you're growing. Not the best guy, nothing. Best guy, nothing. Go to Panovich, you won't be nothing either. Well, what's the best guy? Working, trying. You know, also you have to realize, also this is pasha. People also don't realize that even a guy, I've never shlugged up this thing. I've never seen a bachur that was a masman and that worked hard, no matter what intelligence started out at, that after a matter of time, not even too much time, not even, maybe even only a year, and a weak bachur who had trouble reading, after a few years was finishing, was reading the sechdas, was asking good questions. I've never ever seen a bachur with limited intelligence work hard and not become really good after a few years. That people would say, oh, he's the best bachur this year, he's very smart. Very smart. Baloney, they didn't see him 4 years ago. I've never ever seen a bachur. I've never seen it. People say, oh, he's not meant to learn. He's not meant to learn because, you know, he's not so smart. I don't know how anyone could say that. I've never seen anyone that was not meant to learn actually learn and not succeed. I've never seen that. You want to say that it's very difficult to get him to learn because it's a struggle every word he reads, and it's a struggle 100%. It's harder for a person that has trouble reading to learn. But to tell me that a guy's not meant to learn because of his intelligence, I've never seen it. And any brilliant guy that doesn't work hard is going to become nothing. It's not going to become anything. You know how big the Torah is? You know how big Shas is? You know how many Shayim there are? You know how much you have to chazer to know something? You could be brilliant. Unless you're mamish, you could be brilliant. I don't know how brilliant you are. Brilliant. Maybe if you have a photographic memory and you're brilliant and you learn a few hours a day, maybe you'll know something. Hashem's not going to give you too much credit because you could have done a lot better. But a brilliant guy, not a photographic, you know, not the biggest genius in the world. A brilliant guy that doesn't work hard is not going to become anything. How many brilliant guys go through yeshivas and don't become Talmid Chacham? You go check it out. The only factor is how hard you work. But, like I said before, many times people get confused because they see the smart people became Talmid Chacham, and people that weren't smart didn't become Talmid Chacham, and they say, oh, it's totally in brains. That's not the pshat. The guy with the brains had an advantage because they felt they were smart and they felt good when they chab shir and they felt good when they asked a question. They felt good that people saw that they're so smart, and that helped them, motivate them, help them grow, you know, bring them along. The male, they learned for years and years and years and years and years and became a Talmid Chacham. The guy that wasn't so smart gave up, didn't try because he didn't get the instant covet, and he didn't chab his greatness of trying. The male, he didn't try. Male, he didn't learn. Male, he didn't become a Talmid Chacham. The fact intelligence is not the real reason. That was only just a side factor that caused them not to learn. I've seen Bachram, my mom has seen Bachram, and ask around the older people, you've seen Bachram that were not smart. And now they're very, very smart. It's amazing that. By the way, smart Bachram, if they learn, become smarter also. You know, a person's Rebbe says a shir, how in the world can you think of such a thing? He was just as smart as you when you were then. So he worked a few more years than you, that's all. Comes siyata d'shmaya and effort.